Amen. Monday night, we asked you a question. Can the world hate you? And we concluded, according to Jesus' brothers, if you're an unbeliever, certainly they cannot hate you. Or if you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord, or if you love all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, there's a lot of that going on in the world. You done took 20 selfies, you still don't look good in them. If it wasn't for Photoshop, you'd have no followers. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, you love all that. No, the world cannot hate you, but hopefully as a child of God, that is not your goal. Hopefully there was some self-examination. I got some good feedback. Concerning our relationship with the evil and the evils of this world. And hopefully some hit a spiritual reset, because the one who is supposed to be the object of our love desires the love from our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. He said, you're at enmity with God. And the way I'm reading it, I don't think he's talking to the lost. And we can't even skip out and call it to the Jews in the tribulation on this one. And I'll admit, I struggle with that verse. I mean, you did all that for me on the cross, and now I'm saved, and I just sort of step out and have a little affair, don't take that wrong, with this world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and right away you declare me your enemy? I can't grasp that. Until I read this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye, that means all y'all in Southern, cannot serve God and mammon. Maybe when we love the world and the things that are in the world, this enemy thing and this enmity thing is not his declaration toward us, but from his perspective, in what we love, maybe he sees it as our declaration toward him. If I love the mammon master, I must, by default, according to him, hate him. That's what he said. So let's move on and get a little more positive. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you love your wife tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you wish you had a wife, no, I won't. If you love your husband tonight, ladies, say amen. Amen. That was a married man said that. He was saying it for his kids. Young people, if you love your parents tonight, say amen. So I just asked the giver of love, if they loved four different recipients, the husbands, the wives, the parents, and God. And I think I got a pretty good hearty amen from everyone. But what if I went and pulled some of you aside and said, does your husband love you? Would it be as hearty an amen as it was when I asked the husband? What if I asked the husbands or the parents or the children? What if I asked God, do they love you? See, the answer to the question depends on who you're asking. The giver or the recipient of the intended love. So a sinner's walking along life's road like I was 37 years ago next month. And they meet the one who said, no greater love hath any man than this. And he laid down his life for his friends. And they get saved and they just fall in love with Jesus because, after all, we love him because he first loved us. We'll call that the I do day. Day you said yes. And they start saying, I love you, Lord. And they come and they learn these old hymns. And they start singing, I love you, Lord. And then they move on from the honeymoon a little bit, sort of like when you get married, and then they start reading the recipient of their love's words. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 15, this is the Savior speaking. If ye love me, tell me. Is that what he said? Keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will tell me. No, he said, he'll keep my words. Wait a minute, Lord. You have a measure, if I love you, more than just my mere words and feelings that I have toward you? Yes, just like your wife does. And husbands do, and parents do, and children do. It's the same in heaven as it is in earth. Don't doubt it. Just ask yourself how you measure if someone loves you or not. Do you love the Lord tonight? By His measure? So if I can take the liberty to add line upon line and precept upon precept, I want to mingle John 14 and James 2 and come up with this. Even so, love, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If you don't believe that, ask your wife. Yea, a man may say, I love the Lord. Show me thy love without his measure of keeping his commandments as the recipient of the love, and I'll show thee my love by the keeping of those commands. So in relation to us loving this world, think about this. Can a man have an affair and still be in love with his wife? Don't answer it, but answer God. Can a man, maybe you're a man here, answer. You know what? Depends who you're asking. I think the Bible says Solomon loved many strange women. I have talked to men that have had affairs and say, but preacher, I love my wife. And I think maybe they do, maybe they believe they do, but don't ask the wife. Well, does he or doesn't he? I think it's the recipient's call if he does or he doesn't, with men and with God. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do I? By His measure? You wonder why we have a mental health crisis with our children in this country? First, start by kicking God out. Then, just make babies. I think it's 55%. Unwed babies coming in this country. In the African-American community, it's like 76%. Just make babies and run off with someone else besides mom and pick them up once a month and all the while telling them, I love you. And you know why they join them gangs and why they get violent and why they're all on these drugs? Because in our homes and in our churches and with our God, saying is not the recipient's measure of love. Showing is the recipient's measure of love. With God and with men, don't doubt it. Now, I have never read the book, The Five Love Languages, but I do have 8 daughters. CDs on sale in the bookstore. Oh, I just thought I'd throw that in. But I heard enough to understand, you know, they profiled me and all that. And basically, here's what it says. What actions from another say I love you to you? And the way you identify what that is what actions, how do you say I love you to someone else? And here's the 5 things they give you. Words of affirmation, giving gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. Those are the evident 5 love languages. And I sort of took the test. I gave myself the test, and I realized I'm something, a word I've never heard before. I'm pentalingual. That means I think I got all 5 of them. Words of affirmation. If there is a number one, that's probably mine because I never got it as a kid. I grew up with a rough dad, and it was the older you get, the dumber you get. It was, you know what they do with kids like that? They take them in the street and they run over them. Who doesn't like a pat on the back? We got some people up there, you know, you get down from a sermon, they want to give you a compliment, and it's like, now I don't want this to go to your head, preacher. And I don't want to puff you up, and I don't want you, man, by the time they give the compliment, they got you so low in the ground, they couldn't pull you up if they tried. I think from, I don't want to sound fruity here, but I think God, from God's perspective, he calls words of affirmation, from his perspective, heartfelt praise. Do you love him by his measure? Would your worship tonight show him from your heart that you loved him? Here's another one. Gifts. God, I love you with all my heart. You're lying. By his measure, if your treasure is not in his work. Well, I'm working on the heart and then my treasure will follow. That's backwards. Jesus said, the treasure doesn't follow the heart follows the treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You say, I'm trying to get my heart there first. It doesn't go till your treasure goes. I had a guy in the church 20 years ago, man, he hated me, was standing up saying stuff like this, and I heard this principle, invest in your enemies. And I started taking little $20 bills and putting them in them and putting them in his church mailbox, never telling him. Next thing you know, this guy starts loving me. And here's the bigger thing. I started loving him. He's up there beefing at me, and I'm thinking, little does he know I'm the one giving him these $20 bills. Who doesn't love a gift? Who doesn't hear a Longhorn Steakhouse gift card say, I love you? I love gifts. When I first heard that Brother James don't believe in Christmas, I asked him, can I have your presents? You go to these meetings, you know, preachers kind of get together, and I kind of call it love day. You'll see the preacher or one of his appointees, they're walking around with these white envelopes. And, you know, you're singing, love is in the air. And, you know, you kind of have to act surprised. Oh, thank you. You know, you shouldn't have. Then all of a sudden, all the preachers are gone, and there's a long line in the commode at the bathroom, and you hear envelopes open up in there, and they're singing, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I'll tell you what, God loves gifts. I'm sure it happens. Maybe it's happened to you guys that get out more. I don't get out a whole lot. But I've never had a preacher say after me, well, we love you. Thank you. Now listen, if that happened, I would try to be spiritual. But I'd be thinking, really? By whose measure do you love me? Gifts, that's another one. Acts of service. That's Romans 12. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. I do. How do I? Pick up this book and feed somebody. Don't just tell me, show me, Peter. Quality time. I love you. I love you. And I haven't communed with you in 3 weeks. That wouldn't work with most husbands. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work with God. The measure of love is not measured by the giver. It's measured by the recipient. And I'm looking at you with a whole bunch pointing at me. Do we love Jesus Christ by his measure? Physical touch. What man don't like that? In God's case, it's a spiritual touch. We call it, like we heard in the sermon last night, that woman said, I got to get a hold of him. Do you love God by his measure? He said, if a man love me, he cannot love mammon also. And then he said, and he will keep my commandments. Do you love those closest to you? Like in your home and in your church, by their measure. I'm telling you, if we could get this thing. I love you, preacher. Oh, amen, brother. Where were you Sunday morning? Well, you know, we're kids are on the travel team, and we had the soccer practice up in Fort Florida over there. Does he love you? Probably not real good by his measure. But really, I do love him. We hear it in counseling all the time. I love her. I work all day. Ain't took a bath in 6 months, man. Fleas. You working all day may not be her measure. I love him. I cook his meals. Now, if you're someone like me, it don't take much more than that. But that may not be his measure. Don't you want to be loved by your measure? Didn't Jesus love you by your measure when he gave it all? I don't know if ever in the New Testament he looked at one of the disciples and said, I love you. He didn't have to. He manifested it. He showed it. I've never wondered in 37 years, I wonder if he loves me. I'm going to give you one New Testament commandment to start. We say, okay, I'm getting out of bed with the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and I want to go to him, and I realize I cannot love him, and I'm seeing this thing from his perspective, and he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't turn there. Mark 16:15, you know the verse, and I know this isn't a missions conference, but go ye into all the world and preach that good news. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. Is that a commandment or a suggestion? I think it's a command. He didn't say, "If you, it'd be nice if you did." So by his measure, in effect, to him, what says I love you more? I love you, Lord, to the Lord, or the Lord loves you to those heathens out there? You say, but I'm scared. I am too. I'm embarrassed. Shame to say sometimes I am too. Nobody ever listens to me. It doesn't work. And so there's a big debate on how to effectively evangelize today. And what works best. And from this debate has sprung rock bands in the church and half-naked dancing girls in the church and sports venues in the church and watered-down preaching in the church. And the proponents demand an answer to the question, does just preaching the gospel work? Once again, listen, it depends on what your measure of success is. Three times in the Bible, you're going to see the term pleased God. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, he says he's chosen the foolishness of preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Galatians 1:15, Paul said it pleased God to reveal his Son in me that I might preach. Hebrews 11:5, it says Enoch was translated and was not found, for God had translated him, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. What testimony do we have of Enoch? He prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. So let's ask some of those firsthand if by God's measure it works. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I want to love him by his measure. Our homes would be stronger if we love one another by our spouses and our children's and our parents' measure. Matthew 14:4, you know the verse, for John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Does it work, John? Well, if your head ending up in a basket because of what you said is your measure, no, it doesn't work. Start a magic show or something. But if the measure springs from your love for a God that sees that and says, you know what? Among all those prophets, this is the best one. There's not a greater one than this one. Then it works. That means if telling is pleasing him by his measure, it's not measured by if they like it or not. It's measured by if he likes it. So you get 100% success just by telling it. You can't get that with the Florida Gators. You certainly can't get it with the Buffalo Bills, and you can't get it with Bitcoin. Stop being bound by the paralysis of analysis and go tell Jesus that you love him by telling someone else he loves them. Amen. And if they cut your head off and put it in a basket, 100% right on success. Why? His pleasure. Door to door, shore to shore, store to store, whore to whore, and in Mexico, señor to señor. I want to say I love you in his language. Revelation chapter 1. I feel like I love you. I got this emotional thing for you. I mean, verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Does it work, John? Well, if avoiding banishment is your measure of success, no. Start a badminton league or a bowling league. But if pleasing God so much that when the Holy Spirit wrote about you, he kept saying, the disciple that Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved, the disciple that Jesus loved, 100% it works. Acts chapter 7. Do you love them? Measure and pleasure. You're familiar with these passages, Acts chapter 7, verse 52. Stephen speaking, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before unto you the coming of the just one, and whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, whom ye received who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. There was a rock band before the Beatles ever showed up. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Did it work, Stephen? Yeah, it worked. Oh, they received you? No, they rocked me to death. But he received me. I mean, the one seated at the right hand of the Father ever liveth to make intercession for the saints, standing up? Big debate over there. You know, why was he standing? Was he going to give the kingdom? I don't know all those answers. I know this. He stood up. I wonder what he might have said. I wonder if his first words to Stephen were, I love you too. Do you love him by his measure? Isaiah 53 said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Does telling the truth work, Jesus? Well, if your measure is avoiding being bruised and mutilated and crucified on a cross, no. But if your goal is to please him, just tell the old, old story. Tell somebody that he loves you, and in saying that, you'll be saying, I love you without singing it. I bet if you're saved and you're like me, you really do love the Lord. But if you're like me, it's easier to say than it is to show. It's this world, the mammon, it's just surrounding us, man. And I've always been an impulsive person, man. If it's not, you know, let's get all high on the Buffalo Bills and what happens? Oh, let's get into this thing, and let's get into that thing, and what about this, and did you see the? Oh, man, this world is calling us, but so is our God. You know what's interesting to me? Every verse, and we're not going to go over it. You look over the thing the other night. Every verse that says, love not the world, a friend of the world, they are of the world. Every single one of those contexts, it says, love one another. You know why we need to be so strong on this thing of loving one another in our homes, in our marriages, in our churches, with our God, is because this world out there is saying, we love you, come on, we want to show you a loving good time. Brethren, this world is hating, on the other hand, on steroids, and I'm afraid the church is not far behind, and if there's ever a time to love your preacher by his measure, and love your husband by his measure, and love your parents by their measure. I love them. And I, you know, I put a lot of emphasis on not just saying it. It wouldn't hurt. I think it'd help. I dare you. And I'm going to do it with you. I know what my wife's love language is. It's gifts. And I'm a cheapskate. So she just takes the money and gets gifts anyways. Ask your spouse. Ask your parents. Ask your pastor. And ask your God. What is your measure? of me saying I love you. And then help me to take that next step. And if you need to, the first thing you need to do is get out of that adulterer's bed. Because you can't be in an adulterer's bed with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride, and look and say, I really do love you. That's the first step. Next step, why not tell somebody he loves you? And by that, you know what he'll hear? I love you. Preacher.